The Spirit and the Church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe that we can even begin to fathom the crushing realities of that day. Adam and Eve began the day flawless and fulfilled. They were perfect people living in a perfect universe while enjoying a perfect and personal relationship with their Creator. How bleak and dark everything must have seemed to them now. It must have been hard for them to even draw in their next breath. They hid themselves from God. He sought them out to call from them an accounting for what they had done. A bite of forbidden fruit appears so simple in the relating, and yet so eternally complex in the consequences of its eating. They had disobeyed. They were now death-bound lawbreakers and heartbreakers and deserving of everything that God had told them would happen. They knew in their hearts they deserved all the venom that God could spew their way. They deserved his abandonment to death and hell, and they must have expected, anticipated, that death would be certain and sudden at their very first encounter with their righteous judge. God did have plenty of punishment to dish out, and it was harsh. Death would now be the reality of every human soul. The poison of sin and the stain of sin would penetrate every atom of God's once flawless universe. And not only would sin course through human veins, but the meteors of distant galaxies would now bounce out of their prescribed orbits, and the very ground on which they walked would begin its constant convulsing through the rest of time. But does it shock you that before God laid out his list of manifold consequences in which Adam and Eve and every one of their descendants would experience the realities of sin throughout our lives, that he first announced Advent? A coming. A coming of a singular and special descendant who would experience to its fullest this hatred between Satan and humanity. But who in the end would crush Satan's head? We've read a significant portion of Genesis 3 already in worship this evening. Now I would ask you to focus on just a singular verse, to drink deeply of everything that our Heavenly Father is communicating to us through that verse. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Serpent, Satan, had worked hard to convince Eve that he was her friend. Adam lounged nearby, seemingly entirely unconcerned with the fact that his wife was talking with the animals and discussing the produce options of Eden, even when that discussion finally turned to the forbidden fruit of the tree that Eve insisted they weren't even allowed to touch. Satan's slippery sophistry led Eve to contemplate something that truly was completely upside down. Satan pushed her to buy into the lie that God was actually not as loving as he had claimed to be, and was withholding from her something she rightfully had the expectation of experiencing. That God had not allowed her to know everything that he knew, for she had not yet experienced the difference between good and evil. Eve bought the lie, took a bite, and her endorsing husband followed suit. And from that moment, they only knew evil. Oh, how they must have hated Satan, despised him from that moment on. But there was no surprise in God's voice as he proclaimed that Satan and his human children would be locked in a love-hate relationship for the rest of the world's history. God knew it to be a good thing for him to inspire in his human children a hatred for evil and evil's author to the depths of their hearts. Satan would win battle after battle in life after life with his tawdry temptations. Without exception. But God makes it clear here. Slavery to sin and the domination of Satan would not be an unending reality. It would not continue perpetually until the end of time. You and I know all too well the unrelenting nature of evil and temptation. Pick up this book and take some time studying what God clearly defines as righteous and true and good, and then go try to do it for a day, for an hour, for the next 5 minutes. You and I are enslaved by the events of that day. The predicament that Adam and Eve brought upon themselves was a quandary they would never shake, a puzzle they would never be righteous or wise enough to solve. So God announced Advent, a coming. A coming of a special descendant of Eve who would be different. He would have the wisdom, the ability, the power to overcome and reverse the curse of Satan and the predicament that Adam and Eve had brought upon themselves. And in that titanic struggle, he would crush Satan's head. Do you see here everything that your God is trying to communicate to you in just the third chapter of Genesis? Many more Old Testament prophecies and promises would more clearly and with detail define the identity and the work of our Savior. But here, already, God gives you significant understanding of all that Advent is and how that Advent would come about. Eve would have a child. The one who would come would be seed of the woman, conceived in woman and born of woman. But he would not have that usually necessary ingredient of a human father. Because with that would come the complete and permeating sinful human nature that every other human being must wear. No, he would be seed of the woman and would have the power to overcome Satan. The seed would be very special in every way. His coming and his victory in combat over Satan would be the final answer, God's final answer to the disaster that Adam and Eve had become in that instant and that every one of their descendants have known ever since. The seed would be God's own son, and yet he would be Eve's son too. And there you have it. The grandest announcement ever declared. God's immediate answer to human sin and its domination. Help is on his way. A victor, a savior, promised and proclaimed. Advent? Advent simply is hope. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the power and the glory, both now and forever. Amen.